Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be with you in this beautiful space. Probably feels a little bit different this morning to be inside. And we know that there's a lot of grief that comes with where we're at. And we certainly, you know, as we heard the news of President Trump and Melania Trump getting COVID, it sort of added another level of anxiety for some of us as we realize that nobody is immune to this disease. As we begin worship this morning, we're celebrating that we're here in the sanctuary. We're giving thanks that folks have been working for months, really, to come up with a plan for how we can do this safely. We want to let you know that the vents, the fans in this room will be running throughout the entire service to circulate as much air as we possibly can in and out. Obviously, we're all wearing masks, which I'll be the first to say it's weird to preach with a mask on, and it's probably weird to see people that you love and care about wearing masks. Well, we're doing everything we can to keep people safe as we gather here for worship. And we're so glad that you're here. We're grateful to be together. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to worship. And for those of you who are watching online who are unable to be with us in this room, we're grateful for your presence here as well. And we celebrate that through the gift of technology, we can be together as we worship God together this morning. Wanted to share with you that this morning is World Communion Sunday, and we're grateful for the opportunity we have to share in communion with our brothers and sisters all around the world who are receiving the elements of communion in places like Africa and Asia and Europe, here in the United States, Latin America, South America. We're grateful to be a part of the body of Christ. This morning, we're starting a new sermon series about living generously, living a generous life. And we hope that this morning's worship experience is a blessing to you as we gather here together this day. I invite you to turn your attention to the screen. Susan Snow will be leading us in our first song. And it's in special honor of us as we gather on World Communion Sunday. We invite you to worship together with God this day. Amen.
Will you please pray with me? Almighty God, we are in awe of your magnificent power displayed through the entire universe. For through you all things were made and all things have their being. We come before you with grateful thanks and with hearts that long to adore you and worship you. Lord, may we know the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us today. May we be open to your leading, sensitive to your speaking, and alert to your calling. God, we invite you to be present with us here and now and long to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Throughout the month of October, we're going to be hearing from various folks from our congregation talking about how God is inviting them to live generous lives. So this morning, we'd like to invite Dr. Elizabeth Rao, who's going to come forward and share with us a little bit of her story about how God is moving in her life. Please welcome her as she shares her testimony this day. Amen.
Good morning. Many of you don't know me because I've come to the 8 o'clock service. And as we all know, you come to whatever service you come to, right? I'm a nurse and a retired nurse educator as of May, and I started coming here about 20 years ago. And when John asked me to think about what this church means to me and why I give, I thought about, over the course of those 20 years, what this church has done for me. It's been a place of comfort. Comfort when my mother was sick and dying and I was exhausted trying to work full time and take care of her. The one thing I did every week was come to this place. And this place gave back so much more to me. When my sisters died, two of them, again, this place was a place of solace for me. So as I think about how I want to give and where I want to be in my giving, I think about how much this church family has meant to me, and I hope that you'll consider that too as you ask the Lord, where do I want to be with my giving this year? Thank you.
Good morning. For those of you I haven't met, or for those of you who are joining us online, my name is Bailey. I'm the new Children and Student Ministries Director here at First United Methodist Church. I actually grew up at this church, and I'm very, very happy to be here as the Children and Student Ministries Director now. As we're talking about generosity in our Young Christians moment today, for those who are young and for those who are young at heart, as we're talking about generosity this month, I really think about the posture of gratitude and how gratitude and being grateful is what leads me to feel generous. And so being generous, if you aren't familiar with the word, or it sounds kind of like a big word, then being generous is kind of like when you give something or you give of yourself or your time, when you give those things very willingly. You give them with a smile, you give them happily, joyfully. It's exciting to do. You're eager to do it. And I find that that happiness and joy in giving for me comes from remembering all of the good things in my life. Something that I tried to practice over Lent, and I wasn't always the best about remembering to do it every day, I'll be honest about that, but something I've tried to practice over Lent was practicing keeping a gratitude journal. And so I'd encourage all of our kids at home, all of our kids who are with us today, and all of you adults too, it's a great practice for us as well, to think about keeping a gratitude journal. Now, the way gratitude journal works is that you spend your day looking for 3 to 5 things that you would like to write down in your gratitude journal that you were grateful for that happened today. And if you forget, you can do it the next day, it's okay. You can give yourself some grace with that. But I found that spending my day looking for those 3 things that I was grateful for, especially with how crazy the world is right now, that it was really centering. It helped me to feel very calm and to see those good things that were still happening in the midst of all of this craziness, the good things that our church has been doing, to see that medal drive, to see the NOAA lunches, to see these amazing things that we're still doing and continuing to do, makes me feel a deep sense of gratitude. And it makes me want to turn around and help other people to feel that gratitude too. Like, if our church could be the one thing that someone wrote about in their gratitude journal, how amazing would that be? That would feel so good to know that we were that one thing that somebody wrote down in their gratitude journal that day. I would feel very honored to have been part of that, making that happen for them. And so for our kiddos, if you have an allowance or you have a little bit of money that you've stashed away from birthdays or celebrations that you've been doing or holidays, think about using that little bit of money. Even though it might not feel like you have a lot, we can still use that and give of that, but we can also give of our time. We can give of our energy. I'm thankful for all of the people who worked so hard to get us in this space today. I'm really amazed to have seen all of the work and dedication that people put into planning, to installing filters and filtration systems, to figuring out every little detail of how we're going to walk in, how we're going to exit, and how to do it safely. I'm really grateful for all of those things. And so those people all gave of their time. That was a way for them to be generous as well. And Mary Kushner, who is our point person for the crop walk, has made these little kits for some of the kids to grab. You can either take them on your way out. There's a little station right there. Or for those of you who are watching online, you would also be welcome to stop in. Our church doors are open from 9 to 12 every day. Or you could contact me and we could figure out a way for you to get a hold of one of these. But it's a really wonderful little kit for the crop walk where you can make a little piggy bank out of a water bottle. It's pretty adorable. And if we're grateful for all of the amazing access to food and fresh water that we have, then how much more should we be willing to be generous about helping others to have access to those same things? And whether it be helping with Crop Walk or helping our church and giving to the church, I would just encourage us all, as we're taking time, to be grateful that that gratitude would lead us to be generous as well. Let's pray. God, we come before you today so thankful for all of the wonderful and amazing things that you're still doing in our lives, for all of the ways that our church has been reaching out to people, has been continuing to be the light in this world. We're so thankful. We're thankful for all of the things that you're doing in our lives and in the lives of the people that we love and care about. And we pray that you would use us to be that little thing that someone might write about in their gratitude journal. I pray that you would use each and every one of us and our church as a whole to be that light, to be that thing that would help someone else to feel grateful too, and that the cycle would just continue to go on and on as gratitude and generosity spread across the world. Thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture lesson today is taken from Proverbs 11, 25 to 31, the Message. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Curses on those who drive a hard bargain. Blessings on all who play fair and square. The one who seeks good finds delight. The student of evil becomes evil. A life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. Exploit or abuse your family and end up with a fistful of air. Common sense tells you it is a stupid way to live. A good life is a fruit-bearing tree. A violent life destroys souls. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to live generously. Amen. I want to begin this morning by sharing a story with you about a guy most of us are probably pretty familiar with. Back in Exodus chapter 4, Moses is confronted by God. He's looking right at God in the form of a burning bush. He looks at God, and God says, Moses, throw down your staff. And Moses, in this moment of faith, decides to take a staff, which, if you remember Moses' story, he starts out in the court of Pharaoh, and he goes through life in this life of privilege, despite the fact that his people are all enslaved, and then he gets kicked out of Pharaoh's court, and he has to go take on this new role of being a shepherd, one of the most humble and lowly of all professions. And to do that work, he needed a staff, just a simple piece of wood that he would use to walk. And if a sheep would wander off, he would sort of, by the crook of his shepherd's staff, get the sheep back into the flock. A shepherd would also more than likely use their staff to ward off predators. If some sort of animal was to attack the flock, he would use the staff to hit that animal, to get it out of the way. It was also a defense tool in the event that there were bandits or folks trying to steal sheep from the flock. The shepherd could use that staff to hit those who are trying to steal from the flock. So here Moses is. His life has been on a roller coaster, up and down, had wonderful blessings in his life and terrible moments of shame and guilt and fear. And God says, Moses, what have you got? And Moses only has a staff. That's all he's got, essentially, to his name. He's got his clothes and his staff, and he's standing before God, and God says, Moses, throw down your staff. I don't know what the modern equivalent of that staff would be for all of us. Something you hold on to tightly, something that's always within your grasp. Maybe it's your keys. If God said, throw down your keys, would you be able to throw your keys on the ground, those that you use to get into your home and start your car every morning? Maybe it's your debit or credit card. If God said, throw down your card, would you be able to separate yourself from that? There are lots of things I feel like in the 21st century that I hold on to incredibly tightly. I hold on to with both hands, and I want to protect and conserve and all of that. And the scriptures say that Moses took his staff and he threw it down. What an incredible act of faithfulness in that moment when God asks him. In many ways, it's not just that he's throwing his staff on the ground, it's also that he's giving up on a way of life. God's calling him to do something extraordinary, and in that moment of faith, he takes the staff, which is his means of employment and income and life security, and he throws it on the ground. And that's it. Afterwards, God changes the staff into a snake. You probably remember that part of the story. And it's slithering around on the ground. And the scriptures say Moses ran, which is what any wise, intelligent person would do if there was a venomous organism on the ground slithering by your feet. I don't know about you, but that would scare me to death if I threw a stick on the ground and it turned into a snake. But God says, come back, Moses, come back. Pick up the stick off the ground. Pick up the snake. And Moses says, no thanks, I'm out. No, I threw my shepherd's staff on the ground, no problem. That was my act of faith, I'm out. And God says, no, pick up the snake from the rear, from the end of the snake, the tail. And so Moses bends down and it turns back into a staff. This is a story about Moses answering what God wants him to do in his life, to abandon this life of shepherding sheep and go back and set God's people free from the oppression that they were experiencing in Egypt. Moses had a calling on his life that God knew that Moses didn't realize for himself. And in that moment of throwing the staff on the ground and it turning into a snake, it was an act of faithfulness, taking what he had and giving it up, trusting that God was going to take care of him no matter what happened when that staff hit the ground. Most of us have some kind of staff in our own lives, something that we protect and hold on to with hands clenched like this around it, never wanting to be separated from it. We talked about this last week. For some of us, it's our cell phones. We don't go anywhere without them. They're always in our pocket, our keys, our wallets. And this month, we're talking about what it means to be faithful, to live a generous life, to give of our own time and talent and treasure so that God's work in this world can continue. What does it look like to give of ourselves? And in Moses' moment, his hands go from being clenched to unclenched, and he releases his staff on the ground in this act of trusting God to provide for whatever needs Moses might have arise. I remember the first time that I was asked to give something at a church. It was back when I was in college in Albion, Michigan. The pastor was Reverend Dwayne Bagley, who's now a district superintendent in the Methodist Church. And he looked at me and he said, looked at everybody in the congregation, and it was time for the offering. And I, as I've told you before, didn't grow up to going to church on a regular basis. So the act of giving wasn't something that was routinely a part of my life. I was paying college tuition. I barely had anything to my name. And I remember the pastor up front saying, now it's time for the offering. Well, it just so happened back in the day, people used to carry around these little pieces of paper called money. Do you guys remember that? In their wallets. Back in the day, I had a 1, a 5, a 10, and a 20. That was what I had. And I remember pulling out my wallet as everyone else was getting ready for the offering and thinking to myself, I'm not going to give the 1. It didn't feel right. Like I would feel too guilty to give the $1 bill at that particular time. But at the same time, I wasn't going to give the 20. And I'm here to tell you, I felt stronger about not giving the 20 than I did about not giving the 1. And I was thinking about lunch. So I didn't want to give the 10 either, so I gave the 5. And that was the first act of giving that I remember participating in the church. That was where I was. And that was okay. At that particular time, that's where I needed to be. But I remember I remember to this day what it was like to pull out my wallet and look at the 1, the 5, the 10, and the 20 and just be like, yeah, God deserves a 5 today. That's where I was at. And as I went through life and folks continuously asked me to throw down my own staff, the thing that I was holding on to with hands clenched tight, I went from a place where I was giving out of fear, where I wondered whether or not there would be enough for lunch after church was over, to this place where I felt God was calling me to give generously as much as I possibly could afford to give so that the ministries of the church would be blessed. Something has changed in me over time, and I got to tell you, it's different for me now. And I'm not even where I want to be someday. But we're all on this road where our hands go from being clenched, where we protect our resources. And I got to tell you, for some of us, the most important resource we have is not money. It's time. Some of us defend our time more than we defend our financial resources. Our calendar is so booked that we barely have any time to give anybody. And I'm here to tell you that there's something liberating about trusting God with the time that we have, about letting go of this protective posture and taking our staff, which might be our calendar, and throwing it on the ground and saying, God, I'm here to give you my time. There are some people who are incredibly gifted. They have abilities that are unique. Moses was a shepherd, and I've got to believe that he took that gift that he had of taking sheep through the fields, and he applied that when he was shepherding God's people out of Egypt, right? There's something in common about taking people to taking sheep. It's a similar experience. It's like herding cats, getting people to where you want them to be. Some of you are doctors and nurses, and you've helped us get through this pandemic. Knowledge that I was not equipped for or experienced with before this pandemic hit. We would be lost without the guidance and wisdom that's come from the medical community as far as how to do church safely. And those folks have given us their minds, their wisdom, their experience in the medical profession to help us do church safely. And we cannot say thank you enough for them. Other folks have a wonderful, warm smile, a welcoming spirit, and they've given of their abilities to help us be ushers and greeters, and we're grateful for that as well. And as we move into this season where we're asking people to consider where God wants them to be in their giving, I hope that throughout the course of this month, we can go from holding on to things that we have in this time of anxiety and fear. It's so easy to just grip our resources, our security, and hold on to that as tightly as possible, to simply get to a place where we, like Moses, throw the staff on the ground and say, God, I'm in your hands. I trust you to provide for my every need. You're going to take care of me. I believe that with every fiber of my being, that we're in God's hands and God will care for us. There's a story that I absolutely love about this guy who every single day would go to a local water source to draw water from a river. And that's what he did. In the morning, he would wake up and he'd have this stick that he put on his head and walk from the village to the water source. And on either side of the stick, there was a vase of water when he picked it up from the river. And one of the vases was in perfect condition. It never leaked, never dropped any water on the ground. It was perfect. That was on his left side. And on the right side, there was a vase that he continued to use throughout the course of every single day walking to this water source, but it was cracked. The crack went about halfway down the jar. So every day when he got back to the village, half of the water would have spilled out the entire way to the water source and back. By the time he got back, when it was time to wash clothes and cook, etc., half the water was gone. And so this little jug on the right-hand side of this man was feeling bad about it, right? Looked at the other jug, and it was full, filled with water. And every single day, it did its job, taking the water all the way back to the village. And it looked at the man who was carrying the water, and it said, I'm so sorry for letting you down every single day. I keep dropping water everywhere. And the man said, tomorrow morning, when we walk back from the river on the right-hand side, instead of thinking about the crack that you have in it and all of the water that you're letting out, I want you for just a moment to take a look at the ground beneath you. So sure enough, that's exactly what the pot did. On the left-hand side of the path, there were no plants. There were no signs of life. But on the right side, where this cracked pot was brought from the river back to the village every single day, there were plants and seeds that had been watered every single day faithfully by the crack that existed in this pot. Now on the left side, you have this pot that's completely watertight. It never lets any water out. It holds on with fists clenched to the resources that it has. And there were no signs of life beneath it. But on the right side, there was this pot that was watering plants daily, every single time to and from the village. And it looked down and its entire world was flipped. As we move into this time of October, as we think about what it means to live a generous life, as we think about what it means to give of our time and our talent and our treasure, I hope that you'll be like the pot on the right-hand side. That as you move through the church calendar year, every single time a ministry like Vacation Bible School or gatherings of mission and opportunities and worship come by, you are able to look down at the ground beneath you and realize that those seeds are plants that you have watered by letting a little bit of the water out of your vessel. You are providing life to the ministries that we experience here at this church. May we all be like the pot on the right. May we be like Moses that was willing to throw his only means of livelihood down on the ground so that all the plants on the right-hand side of the path may have life. May we sprinkle them with the water that God has blessed us with. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know so many things in our life. We hold on to so tightly our pocketbooks and our planners. And we pray that as we gather here this morning, you would allow us to loosen our grasp, to trust you to be faithful, to allow you to provide for our every need, to know that you're up to wonderful things in this world. And we pray as we gather here for worship this day that you would bless us with the gift of being together, with the gift of the opportunity to worship you. We pray you would be a blessing to us, to keep us well, to keep us safe. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Call your attention to the prayer quilt on the wall. And although we can no longer tie the knots or sign the card, we can still pray. But this time, I ask you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, as we pray for our prayer quilt recipient, we ask your blessing on him and ask that you give him strength to endure the situation that he is in. We pray for him in hope. He knows that as he wraps himself in the warmth of these quilts, they are also wrapping in our love and prayers for him. Help him in his time of need and give him the peace he needs at this time. In Jesus' name. Now we continue in an attitude of prayer, saying, Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling with confinement at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with financial burdens, help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. That your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope you give to them. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of COVID-19. We know that you are here with us during this historic but horrific time. Relieve the needs of those who endure social distancing and self-quarantine, as well as those quarantined due to illness. During these times, it's important for us to remember that you are ever with us and will always be. When times look the darkest, you are our light. When we feel that there is no hope, you are our hope. When we feel alone and deserted, you are waiting there for us. When we feel down and broken, you are there to lift us up and restore our pieces. We give thanks that we are able to return to your house to give worship. We ask for blessings on those that have joined us here today, and also blessings on those that have chose to wait. We pray that all are safe as we listen to your word, whether it is in person or online. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. We pray for peace and mercy for the people that are putting their lives on the line so that we might live better through all this. Police, firefighters, first responders, nurses, doctors. We also pray for all the people working in hospitals, grocery stores, restaurants, and the many essential workers out there to help us through. As we pray for those that have changed courses in their lives to create help, supply the hospitals, clinics, and doctors with the proper materials and supplies to help protect them as we are in need of their services. We also pray for those looking for an answer, those that seek the solution in a cure, a vaccination, or some type of relief to help us through. Give them strength and wisdom to continue on. Bring wisdom to doctors. Give understanding to scientists. Endow caregivers with compassion and generosity. Bring healing to those who are ill. Protect those who are most at risk. Give comfort to those who have lost a loved one. Welcome those who have died into your eternal home. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we ask for your blessing in this silent time of personal prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
There are certainly many ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our offerings. As we've moved inside, we'll continue to take offerings at the tables in the back. So as you move out of the worship space, if you'd like to contribute to the church and its ministries, there are offering plates on the table, and we invite you to give generously. We can't thank you enough for all of you who have made contributions online. They have really sustained us through this season of not being able to be together. It's a consistent source of gifts that we cannot thank you enough for. But if you have brought an offering to worship this day, the offering baskets will be in the back at the conclusion of our worship time together. Thank you. So as we gather for this time of communion, we gather with our brothers and sisters all around the world. Our brothers and sisters in Asia and Africa, our brothers and sisters in Latin America and South America, our brothers and sisters in Europe and Australia. This is World Communion Sunday, and we reflect all around the world back to a time when Jesus gathered his disciples around a table knowing that the future didn't look bright. His disciples were afraid. Jesus told them that in a short period of time he was going to leave them, and they didn't believe him. They were afraid that Jesus was going to die. So 2,000 years ago, to reassure the disciples, and I choose to believe, though many of the photographs and paintings don't have them in there, that not only were the disciples there, but I believe that there were women in that room as well who had been following Jesus in his ministry from the very beginning of his calling all the way to the end. But to reassure them that he was never going to leave them, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which I have broken for you. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And when supper was over, Jesus took a cup and he said, "This is my blood, which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so we gather around this table in a unique way, in a way that only 2020 can call for. In a moment, our greeters are going to come forward and take these elements individually wrapped and packaged. There's a wafer on top and juice underneath, and they're going to take it, and there will be a station at the door here upstairs, and then one down at the elevator where the elevator drops you off on the first floor. And we'll invite you to take these elements of bread and juice and drink them and eat them on your journey home or as soon as you leave the building. But these elements aren't Brighton First elements. They're not United Methodist elements. They're God's elements, which means everybody's welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive these small means of grace, this bread and this juice. We are all God's children. So we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, transform this bread and this cup into something extraordinary for us. Make it be for us a remembrance of the offering of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to remember his courage and bravery when facing the adversity of the knowledge of his own death. And allow us to do the same. transform us into his likeness. Help us learn from his teachings and help us to grow in our understanding of the grace that he offered to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite our greeters to come forward and bring these elements to the entries of the church so that you might be able to partake in this feast that Christ has provided for us. Amen. So we invite you to partake in those ordinary elements of bread and cup. And as you depart from this place, we just want to share with you a couple of announcements that I hope will be a blessing for you. Next week, our former pastor here at the church, Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker, will be back. She's coming back to bring greetings because next week here at the 9:30 service is our confirmation service. Those young folks have been waiting to be confirmed for a long time, and we're grateful that we finally get to do that for them and their families. And Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker will be back. She'll be able to bring greetings. We know that her time here at the end was sort of strange. She didn't get to preach in person to you. And so Pastor Lindsay and I felt very strongly that she should be able to come back and bring greetings to you and share a little bit about what God is doing in her life at this point. So we hope that you'll join us. She'll be here at the 8 o'clock and the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock service for that. So you don't necessarily have to be here at the 9:30 service to catch her, but we did want to share that with you so that you would be aware of her coming back and that you could be here to extend your greetings as well. As you depart from this place, I pray that you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.